Excited to be in church this morning. I know it's a great day to be here. Why don't we stand up and let's just spend a little bit of time worshiping our Savior and just declaring that we believe and trust and have faith in Him.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Would you just go to the Lord in prayer with me as we pray over the service? Pray that the Lord would be here in this place. How many of you came to meet the Lord here today? We spent time all this week doing all these other things and jobs and work and school and family. But in this moment, we just take time to spend with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we've come here into this place just to honor and worship you. And Lord, we have come into this place to be in your presence, to feel you, to know you, to hear from you. And Lord, we ask right now that whatever we've carried in today, we would leave it here at the altar. Lord, that we would surrender it to you, that you are the God of the possible. And Lord, we ask right now that you would just be in this place today, minister to us, guide us and direct us and challenge us today. May we not leave here the same as we came. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Turn and greet someone before you sit down and say, hey, I'm so glad you're at church today.
Don't seem to have an Ackerman here on the list.
You made the final payment online, right?
Hmm?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
You guys, this is glamping.
What? No Wi-Fi.
I can't wait until you realize there's no air conditioning.
What?
Now, where's my yummy bride?
Oh, honey. Hi. Hello, York family. Oh, I'm Grace.
Stop. Not another word.
Oh.
Oh.
Here's my card.
Intergalactic Chiropractic.
Oh. Oh! Buckle up, everybody.
The Camp Catawba Trophy. You should see this baby on my mantle at home. The family that takes home the most points at the end of the week takes the cup from my cold, dead hands.
If you think we're going to be friends with that guy, you need your head examined.
We're not monsters, okay? Even though we do make sugar-free, organic, vegan, non-dairy marshmallows.
Today, we are going to do the buddy system. Let's go, bucko.
Should have known better than to trust you.
You have no idea where we are.
Come on. This is our story, to tell our wives how we braved the wilderness and fought our way back home.
Get that thing away from me!
My skin is on fire!
Oh, sounds like my kind of party.
We have a problem.
Our husbands are out there on their own, and we don't even know where they are.
I'm stuck here with Dr. Phil's demented twin brother when I should be back at the camp singing Kumbaya with my family.
It's okay, mi amigo. When God closes a door, he opens a Chick-fil-A.
It goes like this.
I thought my family would just magically become the family that I've always wanted them to be.
Things get a little more complicated when you get a peek behind the curtain.
That was fun.
That was something.
You're welcome.
All right. Amen, amen. How many of you recognize those guys? They're called the Skit Guys. We use them a lot in our videos. We just used them the other day on Mother's Day for a video. And we used them at Easter when one of them was trying to convince the other one or help them understand that all the Jesuses of the Bible are the same Jesus. And how many remember that video? Yeah. Was you worried for that guy? I was worried for him. But next Sunday night, we are going to go to the Warren in Moore and watch the Skit Guys. And one of the reasons is this, is obviously they're funny. It's hilarious. But also because I want us to support wholesome entertainment. And I want us to get behind the Skit Guys who've created this movie. And plus, it's going to be a great time of fellowship. So we'll have more specifics next Sunday of exactly the time. It should be around 5 or 6, like our normal Connect Group evening service time. And so be looking for that. But we just wanted to let you know that next Sunday night, we are going to all go spend some quality fellowship time seeing the new Family Camp movie by the Skit Guys. Tonight is the cookout. And so we have a Connect Group cookout at the Browns. And you can see their address there. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and ribs. And we're asking that you would bring a side dish or dessert and a lawn chair. Bring a chair if you don't want to sit on the ground. Who doesn't like to sit on the ground? That's me. All right. So, and nobody likes that person who steals the other person's lawn chair. Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? Hey, you got an extra one? No, bring your own lawn chair, people. All right. You guys are really uptight tonight. Let's go. Yeah. All right, so bring a lawn chair, bring a side or dessert, and the time says 5 o'clock, but Mr. Randy would be fine if you were there at 4. He's got some musicians coming in. They're setting up a sound system. We'll have volleyball and cornhole and ping pong and other games, and just it's going to be a great time of fellowship, all right? And so we'd love for you to come hang out with us. Last time we did this, I think we had about 70 people there. Randy's giving the motion that we have fishing, all right? So if you like to fish, we also have a big pond you can go fishing in. So there's all kinds of stuff to do, and we're going to have a great time of food and fellowship and fun and music and everything else. And like I said, it says 5 o'clock, but if you want to show up at 4, that's okay too. That's okay too. Also, youth camp and kids camp's coming right around the corner, and we want to make sure that you're signed up. I've still got a few spots for youth camp, but here's what I need. Youth camp parents, look at me right there. The lights are on me. I can see you now. Youth camp parents, this Wednesday, after Wednesday service, we're going to have a parent meeting because I need to go over a few details and get us all lined out and ready. So if you could possibly be there right after Wednesday service, just come over to the youth room. It'll just be a quick meeting to make sure we're all got all of our ducks in a row and we're ready for that. And then this next Sunday morning will be our senior Sunday. We're going to honor our graduates, and I'll be speaking, and so it's going to be a great time. But today is the parent interview. So if your kid's being honored next week, you should have signed up for an interview time. If you haven't, come find me, and we're going to do that this afternoon and get all the senior videos ready so that we can all cry and next week, and everybody can make fun of Pastor Phil because he'll be up here boo-hooing. At least I have a kid this time. You know, sometimes I boo-hoo it. I don't even have one of my own kids up here. So they're all my kids. And then I think that's all the announcements I got. That's it. So I'm going to ask the usher to come as we receive tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 Man, how many of you feel blessed? Come on. Sometimes I feel a little busy, but I always feel blessed knowing that the Lord has got his hand upon what we do and our life. How many of you know it's worth serving him? You can't do it any other way. It'll end up in a disaster. So let's just pray over the tithe and offering this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for just your blessing upon us, Lord, your physical blessing, your financial blessing, just your spiritual blessing. Lord, we know that your word is full of blessings upon your people, Lord, as we're obedient to you. And Lord, I pray that as we're obedient in giving and we cheerfully give, Lord, you multiply it. Lord, you just continue to bless our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Seeing a line being drawn in the sand, and we have to choose what side we're going to stand on. We either stand to what God says is right and true and just, or we don't. And this morning I proclaim, I say yes. I say yes to stand for Him and for what His Word says. No matter what, I say yes to Him.
Tear down these idols and every stronghold, tear down all judgment and all of my pride, and tear down religion and all my self-righteousness.
to you and we just say yes. Yes to all that you have for us. Yes to everything that you want us to do. We just lay it all down this morning. And Lord, we just searching and are desperate for a move of you, not only in our own lives, but in our nation. And Lord, I know I say that almost every Sunday, but I still believe that you're in control. So this morning we lay down our old wineskins, looking for a new fresh wine from you, a new anointing. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hands. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel.
Come on, is that your prayer this morning? Lord, let there be new wine out of me, Father God, a new fire, a new zeal, a new move of your Spirit, Lord, a new river of living water. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray this morning that you would just touch us each one, Lord. Pray, God, that you would touch those in need of healing. Be with Sister Donna today. Be with Shirley Grindstaff, Lord. Pray that you would just be with the Whitest family as Lily passed away this week. We just pray that you would be with their family in the memorial service this week. Father God, we just commit ourselves, Lord, today to what you want to do in this service. Holy Spirit, have your way. Touch us, O God, that we might leave here transformed, ready to go out and make a difference in our world. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Aren't you glad you're here today? I mentioned this on Wednesday night. I forgot to a couple of weeks ago at District Council. They gave out a list of the top 50 churches in the state of Oklahoma in missions giving. And I remember several years ago, about 20 years ago, when we finally made the top 50. I remember we all of a sudden it listed Noble Assembly of God as number 50 in missions giving. I remember that. And through the years, we've grown higher and higher. And this year, we rank number 14 in the state of nearly 500 churches. So praise God. Thank the Lord. It was to the tune of about $130,000 that you all gave to missions last year. So thank the Lord for that. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Over the next two or three weeks, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday is June the 5th. And so this week and then Memorial Day weekend and then the weekend of Pentecost Sunday, we're going to be preaching on the power of the Holy Spirit. Today's message is entitled The Priority of Pentecost. The Priority of Pentecost. So Luke chapter 24, we're going to read some verses there. And then we're also going to read as a part of the text this morning, Acts chapter 1 and beginning at verse 6. So Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Are you with me? Are you here? Amen. Praise God. Good to see you. Luke 24, 44. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send you the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what? With power. With power. Everybody say power. With power from heaven. Acts chapter 1. We know that Luke, the physician, also recorded the book of Acts. And so he kind of picks up here in Acts. It kind of at the end of Luke and the first part of Acts is very similar. It says in verse 6, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive what? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud, while they were watching and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus had been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I just pray that you would just bless these next few moments as we look into your word, as we look at the promise of the blessed Holy Spirit who comes to give us power. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. In these verses, we see a promise of power. Aren't you thankful for power? Aren't you glad you didn't have to get up this morning and saddle your horse and get the buggy out? Yeah. Now, Tony still likes his horse, would probably have rode it to church had he had the opportunity. But most of us are glad we're not getting out on a horse to come to church. We're glad we could get in our car, turn the key, and power it up, and we could drive to church this morning. Amen. Most of you ladies were glad that you could use a blow dryer or a curling iron this morning. Most of us this morning got up and we flipped on the lights to get ready. I'm thankful for power. And the Lord has promised us power as well, because we have an assignment in this world that we need his power. We need his help to fulfill. We also see in these verses not only a promise of power, but we see a priority. Everybody say priority. What does priority mean? It means first place. It means it takes top place in the our lives. Jesus' last words were what we read this morning before going back to heaven. And last words are important. Usually when someone knows it's their last words, they're going to be very careful about what they say. They're going to be very concerned about their last wishes be heard. Jesus' last wishes was about two things. It was about power and about missions. Jesus is concerned about the lost. Jesus is concerned about people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. That uttermost parts of the earth is us. Amen? Jesus was concerned about that, and he was concerned that his message would travel to those other places. And for that to happen, they were going to need power. And so he said, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you the power you need in the third person of the Trinity, in the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait there until I send you power from on high. Now, we know how long they waited, don't we? We know they waited for 10 days. We know that 40 days after the cross, Jesus went back to heaven. And right before he went back to heaven, he said, I want you all to go to Jerusalem and wait, because I'm going to send you a gift. I'm going to send you the power that you need to be able to accomplish the Great Commission. He didn't tell them you're going to wait 10 days, did he? He said, go and wait. And so they went and they waited in that upper room, and they prayed and they fasted and they worshiped and they fellowshiped together, honoring God's word. Do you think any of them got tired and left and went home? I think some of them did. Because you know how many people heard the report and the words of Jesus to go and wait? 500. 500 people heard Jesus say, go to Jerusalem and wait until I send you the power from on high. How many of them stayed the course? How many were in that upper room on the day of Pentecost? 120. So some of them may have waited a day or two. Some of them may have waited 3 or 4 days. But on the day when the promise was fulfilled and the power of the Holy Spirit came, there were 120 people there in that room on the day of Pentecost. The priority of Pentecost, the priority of the Holy Spirit. 3 points to the message this morning. Number one, why that priority of Pentecost? Why? Well, as I said, part of it's the Great Commission. Jesus is concerned about people getting saved. Aren't you glad you got saved? How many remember you today that you gave your heart to Jesus? Aren't you glad somebody told you? Aren't you glad somebody pointed you to the cross and told you how to get your heart right with God? There's nearly 7 billion people on this planet, and about half of the people on this planet have not had an adequate witness or no witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he can save them. It's our job, according to Matthew 28, where Jesus said, the Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what we call the Great Commission. The reason for the priority of Pentecost, the priority of the Holy Spirit coming, is that we can fulfill the Great Commission. Another reason is Jesus knew that difficulties and persecution would come. There was going to be some tough days for the disciples in the days ahead. You know, all of the disciples except one were martyred. And John was banished on the island of Patmos, where God gave him the book of Revelation, and he was persecuted, boiled, and different things happened to him that were tough. And there's people around the world that are being persecuted for their faith now. And to an extent, there's even persecution starting to happen in our country. People belittling Christians, people belittling the Bible, not believing, saying, you still believe that stuff? There is an element of persecution, subtle it may be, and other places more severe of persecution. The Lord knows we need the Holy Spirit to be able to stand up to what is on the horizon. Another reason for the Holy Spirit coming and the priority of Pentecost is power in prayer. Power in prayer. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father knows, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. I'm thankful that I, as a Spirit-baptized believer, can pray in the Spirit in prayer when I don't know what to pray for, and I'm praying the perfect will of God. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit that we have to help us in our lives, to help us do things we wouldn't normally be able to do. Help us say things we wouldn't normally say. Help us to be anointed for a moment of ministry. We may not feel like that we're prepared. We may not feel like we have the words. We may not feel like we know what to say or how to act. All of a sudden, if we're Spirit-filled, we can say, Father God, fill me with your Spirit. And the words and the anointing comes and God moves. Lives are touched and changed. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It says in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and is available and for all of us today, it's not just for those people back then. Some fellowships will tell you, well, that was for then. That's not for today. Baloney. It is for today. That's a good spiritual word, baloney. It is for today. He said it's for your children and your children's children and all who are afar off. If we needed the power of the Holy Spirit back then to win the world at that time, we certainly need the power of the Holy Spirit now. And for these gifts to operate, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, things that happen in us and through us because the Holy Spirit produces them within us. Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. The fruit of the Spirit. And like I said, just flat out the power to do things that you wouldn't normally be able to do. I tell you what, I attribute the Holy Spirit to the fact that I'm standing on this platform this morning. To the fact that the Lord called me to the ministry to be a preacher, to declare his word, to get up in front of people week after week, year after year, and do what I do is none other than the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you'd have asked me when I was a teenager if I was going to do this, I would say, no, I don't believe that's me. I didn't like to get up in front of people and talk. I was the shy one. My brother was the one that could talk to anybody and anything. And if it was able to talk back, it would talk back. And if it wasn't able to talk back, it would still talk back because he knew how to talk like that. And so it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I asked Pastor Chad the other day, when you hear Pastor Chad preaches, he hardly uses any notes like myself. He walks around and he's preaching. He's just hardly stumbling on any words. He's just preaching and in his own Pastor Chad kind of way. And I said, Pastor Chad, how do you do that? How do you not even look down at your notes and preach like that? And he said, I couldn't do that before I got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. After I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord allowed me to be able to do that. Anything we do with the help of the Holy Spirit will be better than we are on our own. And I'm sure the same Pastor Phil, he does a great job preaching as well. He moves around a lot more than I do. I don't move as much, partly because I'm old. Everybody has their own style, has their own unique personality. But I'm telling you, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that takes the little that we can do and makes it effective for the kingdom of God. Not all of you are called up here to stand up and preach, but you have gifts, you have callings, you have purpose. God put you here for a reason, and whatever you do, you will do better if you are anointed and blessed by the Holy Spirit to do it. He makes the difference, and the Lord knew that. That's why he said, guys, he told his disciples and even the 500, he says, don't try and start this world evangelization and sharing the gospel and going into all the world, as I've told you. Don't start doing that until you've been given power from on high. Because you know why? You will fail. It won't work. You won't be near as effective. But if you will wait and receive what I have promised you, you will see the world turned upside down. Or rather, right side up. So my second point is, where has all the power gone? Where has all the power gone? As I look around and I see things happening in other parts of the world, and I read in the New Testament the way things happened and great miracles, and people were throwing themselves out in Peter's shadow so they could be healed, and blind eyes were opening, and the dead were being raised, and massive people were coming to the Lord. Peter preached 1,000 and 3,000 people get saved. And seeing all these great New Testament signs and wonders and miracles, I just kind of have to ask myself, how come we're not seeing that to that degree today? Has anybody else besides me ever wondered that? I mean, if we're really honest, if we're not just trying to play tricks on ourselves, let's be honest, where has the power gone? Can I tell you? It's not a power shortage. It's a power outage. You know the difference between a power shortage and a power outage? A power shortage is that there is a shortage of power that's available. Something's wrong. There is an amount of power that's no longer available for some reason. A power outage is the power is there. It's available. It's just not getting to you. If you've been in a storm and there's been massive wind and massive maybe tornadoes and lightning and so on, and there'll be many people, and it will show on the TV, we've got 75,000 people that are without power. And they show that little map with all the red dots over it where all the power outages are in a particular area. The power's still there. It's whatever brought the power to the particular houses down lines. Blown up, what do they call those boosters? Transformers, thank you. Something has happened that keeps the power source from getting to the power receivers and those that need the power. Can I tell you today, there is no shortage of power in heaven. There is no power shortage on high. The same power that is available on the day of Pentecost and all throughout the book of Acts and what has propelled miracles and signs and wonders and salvations all around the world for the last 2,000 years, that power has not been diminished one ounce, one bit. It's still there. The problem is there's a power outage in people wanting and receiving and waiting and doing the seeking and the hungering and the fasting and praying the price to see the power brought to their situation. I hope if there was some kind of a meter that showed the power outage of churches, let's just say in Central Oklahoma, I hope there would not be a red dot over Noble Assembly of God. I hope there would not be a red dot say, yes, we got a power outage in Noble. We got a power outage at that Assembly of God church. Oh, they claim the power, but is the power there? I'm just asking some questions this morning. We must reclaim the power of the Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done. There's still a lot of messed up people in Noble. There's still a lot of lost people. There's still a lot of people without Jesus. There's still a lot of families that are in turmoil. There's still a lot of people that don't have any hope. There's still a lot of people that are sick. There's a lot of people that are in some kind of bondage all around this area. And church, we have the power in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference. You say, Pastor Steve, there's so many. There's so many. What are we going to do? What kind of a difference can we make? You've seen the story of the little seashells? Starfish, thank you. Thousands and thousands of starfish. The guy picks up one, throws it in, picks up another, throws it back in the water, throws it back in the water, picks up another, throws it in the water. Some guy saw him, said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm rescuing these starfish and I'm throwing them back in the water. He said, son, there's thousands of them. What good is that going to do? He picked up another and says, it just made a difference in that one. It made a difference in that one. Aren't you glad, church, that you were one of those ones that God made a difference in? Because somebody in the power of the Holy Spirit brought you the message of salvation. Somebody told you there's a better way. Somebody told you that there is hope and there is life and there is peace and there is joy and there is purpose in serving Jesus. We must reclaim the power to make a difference. There's lost people all around us, lost opportunities all around us that need to be captured for the glory of God. The need is too great for the church to be filled with spiritual power, to not be filled with spiritual power and vitality as provided by the Holy Spirit. So where's the power gone? It's still there. Third question, what must we do? What must we do to get the power back on? That question was asked on the day of Pentecost, actually, in Peter's sermon. Peter preached this message under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I think it's so cool that at one time before Pentecost, when people pointed their fingers at Peter, says, you're one of them. What did Peter do? Yes, I am. What are you going to do about it? Is that what he did? Yes, I am. I'm a spirit-filled child of God. I'm going to preach to you. What did he do? You're one of them. Yes, I am. Did he do that? No, he said, I don't even know what you're talking about. You were with him. No, I don't know the man. You were with him. I'm telling you, and he strikes out some curse words and says, I don't know who you're talking about. That was Peter. Peter was saved. Peter was a follower. Peter was a disciple. He had seen Jesus do miracles. He had watched Jesus feed the 5,000. He had seen Jesus raise the dead. He was there when Lazarus came out of the tomb after being dead 4 days. Peter was there, saw all of that. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He had supper with Jesus a few hours before. And when it came down to someone pointing their finger at him and saying, you're one of him, he said, I don't know him. And before I throw too many rocks at Peter, how do I know that Steve Lance might not have done the same thing, given the situation? Not knowing what could happen. Not knowing if he'd be killed on the spot or what. I don't know. I'm not claiming to be more holy or righteous than Peter, and I hope you aren't either. But 50 days later, 50 days later, after some time waiting on the Lord and seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the room, and tongues of fire separated and set on each one of them. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. 17 languages were produced in that one room that day by 120 people. And all the people in Jerusalem heard the gospel being preached in their own language by some fishermen, by some people who had no idea what they were saying. But under the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit, a miracle, a supernatural manifestation of God happened. A miracle happened. They heard the gospel being preached. Peter gets up. He's not cowardly Peter this time. He gets up and he raised his voice with the 11. He says, this is that was produced and preached by the prophet Joel. In the last days, you will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This is what Joel was talking about. And he preached under the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the same Peter any longer. And when he got done preaching, the people said in verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? What should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. What should we do? Now, that was to a bunch of people that were religious, Jewish people and people from other countries, 17 other countries, all raised their voice and said, what should we do? 3,000 of them got saved that day. The church went from a small handful to 3,000 in one day. So I'm asking us today, though, in light of what we know and what we've seen and the history we know and the fact that we're believers here today, I believe the question still begs to be answered. What should we do? What should we do if we don't see the power of the Holy Spirit flowing and people being saved and set free? What should we do if we don't see these seats full? If we don't see people out in the casinos, that the cars are there by the hundreds and hundreds? You ever driven by a casino? I can't believe how many cars are there. I remember when that little thing called the Windstar down by I-35 in the Texas border. I remember when it was a little pup tent, basically. It was a tent that they blew up, and it was white, and it sat there, and that's all that was there. You drive by there, and it looks like a modern-day Las Vegas right there. And you drive by there and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and I would even say thousands of cars. And that doesn't even include all the other casinos. And you drive by a lot of church parking lots and they're empty. Or there's a few cars here and there and there's a whole lot of empty seats. Friends, where's the power gone? Where's the power gone? Is that the way it ought to be? Is that the way it should be? No. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is for today. The power of the Holy Spirit is for today. Just as it was poured out in Acts chapter 2, the Lord's want to pour his Spirit out on hungry, thirsting people today. So what must we do? I want to give you three things, and there's probably more, but at least these three. Number one, reestablish the priority of power as promised by Jesus and predicted by the prophets. Reestablish the power that was promised by Jesus, it's the gift of the Father, and predicted by the prophets. We read Jesus' promise when we read the text in Luke 24 and Acts 1 a moment ago. But then Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, and I quoted part of it a few moments ago in Acts chapter 2, exactly what he said. Know what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Peter says that's what's happening today. Question that comes to mind: how come we have made optional what Jesus made a priority? How come we have tended to make optional what Jesus made a priority? You say, I don't have to have the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You do have to have the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. Everybody has the Holy Spirit. Even a non-Pentecostal person, if they're saved, has the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved unless you have the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about that. That's salvation. The Holy Spirit is given to you at salvation. When you are saved, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Let's get that clear. What I'm talking about today is something that's called the second blessing or the second step, and that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a whole separate experience in God that the Lord wants every believer to have. So no, the Bible does not say unless you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you can't go to heaven. The Bible does not say that. I would not preach that. Can I tell you, salvation is about you going to heaven. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is about others going to heaven that you have a witness to. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help others get to heaven, to be an effective witness. Thank goodness you made it. Jesus, one thing he always teaches, it's not just about you. He was always looking to some other people, putting himself last. As good Christian people, we need to think of ourselves last. Thank goodness we got saved, but I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of people that need Jesus out there that are dependent on how hungry we are for the Holy Spirit's power to go and reach them. So we need to reestablish thy priority that for me, I don't want the Holy Spirit to be optional. I want him to be a priority. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be a priority with me. If I'm feeling a little empty, a little low, and a little dry, I need to get with the Lord and say, Lord, fill me up again. Lord, touch me again. Lord, here I am. Fill my heart today. Lord, fill me with your spirit, with your power. And not just be okay with it if I don't feel, oh, well, I don't feel that. Folks, where's our passion? Church, where's our passion? Pastor Steve, where's your passion? When I'm preaching to you, I've had to ask myself this all week. Where's my passion? Where's my thirst? Where's my hunger? Where is the spirit where it's flowing like a river? I don't want to trickle. It doesn't say out of your innermost being shall flow a tiny trickle of living water. What does it say? Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. Everybody say rivers. Rivers of living water. That's not a trickle. That's not a tiny stream. It's a river. Can I tell you, we got people living all around us and that we work with and go to school with and that we associate with at the ballpark and people in our family. They need a river. They need a river. They need us to be full of the Holy Spirit so that we can make a difference. So let's not make optional what Jesus has made a priority. Second thing we do, not only reestablish the priority, number two, we need to repent of powerlessness in both the pulpit and the pew. I'm throwing myself right in there with you. I need to repent of powerlessness in the pulpit and in the pew. I have to apologize for not preaching more under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and with the river flowing and proclaiming something Jesus made a priority like I should have over and over, not just once or two times or three times a year as we get close to Pentecost Sunday. My friends, we need to be preaching the baptism in the Holy Spirit just like we preach salvation. And yet there are churches that they put the Holy Spirit in the back room and say, we don't want a little stuff like that going on. It's just not good. People don't understand. The Apostle Paul said it'll be a sign to the unbelievers. It'll be a sign that the supernatural is happening. I don't want the Holy Spirit in the back room. I want the Holy Spirit in the living room, in the front room. I want when people come in these doors, they know this is a spirit-filled church. This church is spirit-filled. The love of God is here. The power of God is here. Not come into some little country club where we're going to sing a few songs, raise our hand a little bit, go home and say, wasn't that great? But it's up to us. It's up to me. It's up to you. What kind of church do we want? Repentance is not just a one-time thing that happens at salvation. Lord, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry. And we repent, and that's it. That's just the start. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And what? Forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There is a line in there that talks about repenting. forgiveness. Friends, if you are a true seeking after God believer, you're probably going to repent every day. Because I don't know about you, but none of us are going to be perfect till we get to heaven. If it's not something that I did that I shouldn't have done, it's something that I didn't do that I should have. There's always something to repent of. So don't think as a Christian you can live repent-free. You need to live repent-full. God, forgive me. Lord, I just want to walk with you. Lord, I just want to make a difference. I'm sorry I didn't say something to that person that you put in my path today that was needing you. Lord, I'm sorry I said something bad to my wife that I shouldn't have said. Lord, I'm sorry I treated my daughter bad. Whatever. Lord, I'm sorry I cut that guy off in the intersection. Which I didn't do that, but I would be sorry if I did. Repentance. Ask God to forgive us for not seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and then to stay filled. Can I say this? The Spirit-filled life is not a one-time event in our spiritual history, but an ongoing river of living water, as Jesus spoke of in John 7:37. I wrote it just, or read it, or said it just a moment ago, but let's read it. On that last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty," everybody say thirsty. Say it again. Thirsty, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, tiny droplets of living water will flow from his heart. No, it says rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said this living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Speaking of the Spirit. It's not a one-time event. When I was in Cub Scouts years ago, I always tried to get different badges. You know, you get your wolf. No, what I think it's the Bobcat. And I never was in Rangers. Apologize to our Ranger guys who do Rangers. Thank goodness for them. We never had that when I was little. But in Scouts, we had Cub Scouts. And you got your, I think it's the Bobcat. Am I right? And then you get your wolf badge. And then you get your bear badge. And then you get some arrows. And you do all these awards. And you work hard to pin that on your nice little Cub Scout uniform with the bolo tie. And you get to go to Scoutorama and do all these fun things. And go hiking and do stuff like that. I had a great time in Cub Scouts. And I wanted to get those badges. Some people see the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a badge. Well, I got that badge. Go, whoo, got that one done. What's next? The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a badge. It's a beginning. It's a beginning of a walk in the Spirit with the Lord. It's a beginning of the river of living water flowing out of your innermost being. There are certainly more things to do. There are certainly more adventures to happen. There are certainly people the Lord wants to lead you to lay hands on and to pray for and to see the kingdom of God come to them. Rivers of living water. Very quickly, number three. Reprioritize, repent. Number three, return to the discipline of hungering and thirsting to remain full of the Spirit. Hungering and thirsting. Hungering and thirsting. How many of you get hungry? I'm talking about it in a physical way. You get hungry. How many of you are hungry right now? How many of you get thirsty? How many of you are thirsty right now? How many of you could use a nice, big, cold, ice-cold Dr. Pepper right now? Sounds so good. Well, I tell you what, when we want the Spirit of God flowing through us and in us and on us, as much as we want food and as much as I want an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, we will see it. It will happen. God will move. But when we don't really care and we'd rather eat and rather play and rather do all these other things more than be filled with the Spirit, more than getting God's presence flowing in us and on us and through us, then nothing will happen. And we will live this boring Christian life. You know why Christians are bored? Because they're not spirit-filled. They're bored. Heaven help us. And I admit there's times I've been bored. I think, and I get bored. And when I get that way, I'm thinking, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't be bored. Forgive me, Lord. God, let me see the fields. Lord, let me see the harvest. Father God, give me something to do. Help me see an opportunity to be a blessing. Help me reach out to somebody. We just got to get beyond ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, flow through us, and your life won't be anything but bored. God blesses those who hunger and thirst after him. Matthew 5 says they will be what? Filled. Only to be emptied again. We don't get filled so that we can stay filled. Well, I'm full. I am full. I'm a full gospel preacher. I am full. Well, what would Jesus have you do? He'd have you to go get emptied. Go get empty. Go take all your fullness of Jesus that you claim you're full of and spread him to some people who are dying in the desert of sin. Don't just be full so you can be full. Be full to get empty so you can be filled again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. A powerless church begets. Remember all the begets in Matthew 1? So-and-so begets so-and-so, so-and-so beget, and it takes you a chapter and a half to get through all these begets. I want to tell you what a powerless church begets. I just named three, and there's a ton. But here's three things that a powerless church begets. It begets a sin-soaked world. Church isn't shining. The church isn't letting its light shine as a city on a hill. The church isn't doing anything. The world just gets worse and worse and worse. And Jesus said it's going to get worse anyway as the last days, but it don't have to get worse for this one right here that I'm throwing back out and saving. It doesn't have to get worse for that little boy or that girl. It doesn't have to get worse for that family. That family can come in and give their heart to Jesus and get saved and change the whole course of their family. Not only begets a sin-soaked world, it begets a sad-faced witness.
I love Jesus.
I can't even do it.
Well, thank you, Jesus. God is so good to me, I can't hardly stand it. Would you like some of what I got?
Folks, we got to wake up. What kind of a world was that? But you show me a Christian that's on fire with the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water flowing out of them, and they're going to say, hallelujah, Jesus, God is good. Don't you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? He loves you. He's got a plan for you. Come to my church on Sunday. These are kind of fun, but I'll stop at three. A powerless church, and it's really serious. I shouldn't make light because it's serious, so very serious. A powerless church begets a sin-soaked world, begets a sad-faced witness. And number three, and probably worst of all, a powerless church begets a solemn warning from the Savior. Revelation chapter 2. And three are several messages that the Lord gave to some churches. I'm just going to share this one, very first one, message at Ephesus. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is Jesus talking. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You've discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the work you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans just as I do. And he goes on to tell them, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, you'd be wise to heed that. A solemn warning from the Father. In conclusion, the Assemblies of God was birthed in the power and in the proclamation of Pentecost. 1914. A 108 years ago, the Assemblies of God started with 300 believers in Hot Springs, Arkansas. They were people who were hungry and were thirsty and wanted to make a difference. They wanted to reach the world with the gospel. They wanted to obey the Great Commission. That was their number one thing, is we want to obey the Great Commission. So they met in Hot Springs. In 2022, that number of 300 in the United States has grown to 3.5 million in nearly 12,000 churches. Worldwide, the number of AG, people who claim Assemblies of God affiliation in the world, numbers right at 70 million, 400,000 churches. That's in 108 years, from 300 to 70 million. I don't think it was any of man's geniuses and talents and abilities that was able to do that. Do you, Brother Jack? I believe it took the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit working in those 300 believers, and that grew and grew and grew. It's what it took to do what we've seen and what happens in the greatest missionary involvement ever, the greatest missions program ever. Can I tell you, without a return to the power of the Holy Spirit, we will see less and less of what God wants to do, and the people God wants to save will remain lost and remain lost in sin and die without the Savior and go to hell. We must make Pentecost, we must make the baptism in the Holy Spirit a priority as Jesus did. And we must hunger and thirst in repentance and returning to heartfelt seeking of the Lord if we are going to see it continue. We don't have time for business as usual. While the Assemblies of God membership has gone up and salvations go up, do you know what spirit baptisms have done in the last 10, 20 years? Gone down. That's not God's will. It's not God's will. You say, well, Pastor, see, people don't understand. You know what? I didn't understand it either when we went to a Pentecostal church when I was 10 years old. It scared the snot out of me. I didn't understand what all this gibberish, people talking in tongues, lifting their hands. I didn't know what in the world they were doing. It really messed up this little Nazarene boy. What in the world? I didn't understand it. But it created a hunger in me and in my parents, in our family, that we don't understand it, but we're going. And we're seeking and we're asking questions and we're saying, okay. And then we begin to learn more and more about it. And lo and behold, 50 years later, I'm a Spirit-filled Assemblies of God pastor standing in church on a March, April, May, what is this? May 15th morning, preaching the very thing that I had no clue what on earth was this 50 years ago. God is able. He will take you if you will just hunger and thirst after Him. He will take you where He wants you to be. But you just have to cooperate. You have to want it. You have to hunger and thirst after it. And say, God, it's not about the tongues necessarily. That is a sign. We'll talk about that in another message. It's not about, it's Lord, I want you. I just want you. What is that one singer, young lady that sings that song? I just want you. I just want you. Lord, we want you. And whatever you have is good for me. Whatever you have, God, would you just lift your hands and stand with me this morning? Would you just lift your hands and say, Father God, whatever you want, I want. Whatever, Lord, is on your heart for me, I want, God. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me, Lord, with your love, with your power, with your grace, Lord. I want to be a life river for you, God. Lord, I want to be a roaring river of life, not because of me, but because of the God in me, because of Jesus in me, because of the Holy Spirit in me flowing through me like a river. Oh, Father God, help me, Lord. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus. The team is going to come and sing another song as they come. These altars are open. I'd invite you to come and say, Lord, fill me with you. Fill me with you, Lord. Fill me with you. Want to be prayed for to receive the baptism. I'll pray for you. Pastor Phil, pray for you. Oh, hallelujah. Church, come on. Let's demonstrate our hunger and our thirst for Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Was my cross you bore so I could. In the freedom you died for, and now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore, and worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name. is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Oh, yes, Lord, you are worthy. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, you are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I want all of you, God. Lord, I want every gift. Lord, I want everything, Father, that you have. Oh, God, we are so hungry and thirsty. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One thing that will enhance your thirst, one thing that will enhance your hunger. This is a tiny bit. Doesn't cost you nothing. As Brother Ronnie says a lot in Sunday school, this is free, won't cost you nothing, but it's powerful. If you really want to turn up your hunger and your thirst for the Lord and see him miraculously giving you an anointing and a blessing to witness or to serve or to, you just sense it. Prayer, and there's another word with it, fasting. Fasting. I don't understand for the life of me the connection between my stomach and my spirit, but evidently it's there, because Jesus said when you pray, when you fast, you'll see God do things that you wouldn't see otherwise. The son who was uncontrollable and was full of demons, the disciples tried to cast him out, tried to set the young man free, and they couldn't do it. The father went to Jesus, said, I went to your disciples, I went to your church, and they couldn't help my son. Can you help him? And Jesus spoke, and the demons came out, and the boy was set free. And the disciples came to Jesus later and said, what, Lord, we prayed and did everything we could do. I mean, we commanded and prayed and did everything, and we couldn't do it. He said, some things require prayer and fasting. If you really want to see God do something, like, because I can't explain it. I have no earthly understanding of why the connection's there, but it is. As I have fasted, anytime I get through with a fast, whether it's 3 days or a day or a week, I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit like, wow. You know what I told the Lord yesterday? And please don't take this wrong. Please don't take it like I'm lifting myself as some great pastor, preacher, whatever. I'm not. I'm just telling you. I said to myself yesterday, I said, Lord, I wish I could live all the time. I wish I could just fast 365 days a year, because then I would be so full of you. I would just be able to do wonderful things for your kingdom. And of course, you can't do that. But that was my prayer, because, Lord, I just feel such an awesome closeness when I do that. And when I'm done with that, it's just like it's you're there. It's I can't explain it. But I believe if we have that heart, and we put that discipline in our hearts and in our schedules, we will see God begin to do a greater amount of things that are supernatural in our midst. Supernatural meaning it's not natural, it's above natural. It's a God thing. How many of you want to see God do God things? Amen. Lord, we thank you for the promise of power, for the promise of the Holy Spirit to help us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. And I pray, God, that you would help us as we leave here today, God, to be encouraged, not beat down, not condemned, maybe convicted, to be able to do what you've called us to do, to be the church where the power is still on, where there's no red dot over 100 West Post Oak Road that's declared a power outage. Lord, let this place be alive and on fire with your presence, that it might touch this community in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you today.